Hey, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, wadeforwireless.com, and today, what is the FCC 600 MHz auction, and why am I bringing it up? I guess that's a big question, but really, it's very interesting because it's a reverse auction and a forward auction altogether, which is pretty cool, I think. You know, I mean, the FCC came up with this idea for two reasons, which I'll get into as soon as I thank Tower Safety for being my sponsor, towersafety.com. Where the best get better. If you want to call them, 480-313-0678. And they do basically tower training. You know, if you want to do rescue or safety training, train the trainer. And they also do OSHA training. So you need all these for your tower business, right? So if you're on a tower business, you want to get good training. They're based in Arizona. You don't want to go to Arizona or you don't want to send your people to Arizona. They will come to you and train you at your facility. I mean, how can you beat that? Towersafety.com, 480-313-0678. All right, let's get back here. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, I have my products too. I have Scope of Work Tutorial at wadesarver.com, and I also have a logbook, which I think it's very important for all you people out there working in the field to log your time, what you're doing, your drive time, where you're at, who you're working with, and the project. I know you don't think it's important, but you never know. Someday you might need it. Also, keep track of your expenses. So, where was I? 600 megahertz auction that the FCC is going to put on. Now, this is a little confusing because there's a reverse auction and a forward auction. But what is it? What it is, the FCC is going to buy back licenses from broadcasters. Broadcasters that still do over-the-air broadcasting. Now, they have a lot of money invested in broadcasting, right? They got their transmitter, the tower, and so on. And what they're going to do is basically look for people that just want to get out of broadcasting or that maybe want to retire. I would imagine they expect to get a lot of money for their licenses. So anyone in 600 megahertz range anyway, they're going to buy back the licenses. The FCC is going to buy back the licenses. But the way they're going to do it is when they auction off the band, the frequency, to the carriers. The carriers are going to want to buy, you know, contiguous bandwidth. They're going to want to buy so much. And for them to get a chunk of it in the region, someone's going to have to give up a broadcast license. Now, this is how I understand it. Feel free to correct me. It's very confusing. But that's what the plan is. The FCC is going to buy them back. It's an incentive auction. So if a broadcaster does commit to it and they put their license up for auction, they can't back out unless they don't get the price, the minimum price that they were offered. If they don't get the minimum price, then they don't have to give up their license. But say if the minimum price is, I'm going to throw, I don't know what it would be, let's say 100 grand. If the minimum price for their license is 100 grand, then they're going to, you know, obviously if someone bids 101,000, they have to give up their license. There's no backing out. But if nobody bids that much, if someone bids like 90 grand, they get to take their license back. That's my understanding. By the way, this is going to take place on March 29th, 2016, but it's supposed to. Dates slip all the time with these auctions. Let's talk about two things. Why would a broadcaster do that? Like I said, maybe they want to retire. Maybe they want to get out of the business. Or maybe they can just become more cost effective now that there's digital broadcasting and they can look at somebody else and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you and I work together on your channels? Because now with digital, you know, they can broadcast on two or three channels. It's just the way it works. And if you notice that with a lot of your local broadcasters, they really didn't know what to do with the second or third channel. Some of them ran old movies, some of them ran the weather, but no one started a new station per se. Well, here's a chance for like two broadcasters to work together, or three, and just, you know, broadcast their prime content on the other channels. So let's say on one channel, you could have local station one, and then second channel, local station two. Both have prime content. They could share the costs of broadcast, the cost of the tower, and all that. I mean, to me, it seems like a good idea. But, you know, I'm a partners kind of guy. I like working with people. But maybe these guys look at each other's competitors. I don't know. But if you want to give up your license, cash in. I see it as a viable option to actually work with another carrier if you want to continue over-the-air broadcasting. It's up to you. Why do the carriers want it? 600 megahertz for a carrier, for once, more bandwidth. Bandwidth is valuable. We saw that with the AWS-3 auctions. And I think what they're looking to do is actually get as much as they can of the airwaves so they have more broadband to deliver to people. It'll be good for deployment because obviously we'll roll more stuff out. I don't know who's going to bid on this. T-Mobile seems interested. I don't know if Sprint will or not. But 600 megahertz, where the real value is say in the rural and the suburban areas, not urban, because, well, they'll probably roll it out in the urban areas. I mean, they're doing that now with 700 megahertz, but for 600 megahertz, it carries very well. So you can cover a lot more with that band. It carries through the air very well. So in, say, the Midwest, where you want to cover a lot of area, get the biggest bang for your buck, 600 megahertz would do very well, better than, say, you know, 2.5 or 1.9 gigahertz, where it just doesn't carry as well through the open air. 600 megahertz, it would roll along the countryside for quite a ways, the way I see it. The downside is in the urban areas, because for 600 megahertz, I would imagine the cell coverage is going to be larger. You need down tilt in the urban areas so you didn't interfere with yourself. What you have self-interference. Now, with LTE, they correct that with ICIC, which is inter-cell interference coordination. And that's where they basically minimize the interference through the technology of LTE, you know, through the E-Node B and so on. It's actually a feature that they put in there. But really, you would also have to use down-tilt frequency planning. It would take quite a bit of engineering on the backside, the network engineering, to make sure that it's done right. And the RF engineering to make sure you have a down-tilt. So now, a broadcaster, like I was saying, would give it up for a lot of different reasons. And I basically gave you the model because the broadcaster now can do so much more. But if the FCC, from what they say in their documentation, and I have the links in there, wadeforwireless.com, wadeforwireless.com. And the reason they want to do that, the FCC set aside $900 million for these auctions. And I'm assuming, so the broadcasters will get paid, you know, for their licenses very well. This is what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to broadcast. They're going to want to utilize the digital carrier the best way that they can. And the best way that they can is for those multiple channels to be shared, I think. And this is my opinion. I'm just telling you what I think. Why not utilize those digital channels efficiently, effectively? It would be cost effective if you could share the cost. Suddenly your costs are, in theory, half as much because you have someone else there willing to work with you. So if you think you can do this plan and you think it'll work, why not just take the money and put that money and invest it into something new, a new station? For the broadcasters, it's not that easy. I get it, because, you know, they're going to get this money. They probably have to take their transmitter down if they want to. If they own the tower, they'll lease out the tower, lease out the space. Maybe if they have the STL, the station transmitter link, they'll just point that towards somebody else's tower. But they can take, they have to decommission the tower, like I was saying, in the antenna. They could probably sell their transmitter. A lot of them go to South America, somewhere in Latin America. A lot of those countries would buy up the old transmitter. And that's what I see happening. You know, they would probably sell everything off. But, I mean, to give up your business is sort of tough. So I get it. I get the reverse auction. So they would have to be guaranteed so much money in order to do this. I mean, I don't think they're going to do it for 10 grand, right? I see it for hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's my opinion. What they get or what they want to do, maybe they want to retire. Maybe they're tired of broadcast. Maybe they just don't make money over the air like they used to. Maybe now all the money's in cable and dish and so on. Maybe that's a way to go. I just don't know. But that's what I see with those guys. Now, in the forward auction, when that happens, I see that happening with the carriers. They want more bandwidth. How they're going to price that, I don't know. I have a quote in there, which I'll read. This was taken from one of the FCC's documents, but basically here's what it says. And this is quite a mouthful. Forward auction bidding. We adopt our proposal to offer two categories of generic spectrum blocks for bidding in the clock phase of the forward auction. Category 1, blocks with potential impairments that affect 0 to 15% of the weighted population of a PEA, and Category 2, blocks with a potential impairment that affect between greater than 15% and up to 50%. Prices for frequency-specific licenses will be adjusted downward at the end of the assignment phase of the forward auction by 1% of the final clock phase price for each 1% of impairment to the license. to implement the final stage rule established in the incentive auction R&O, we adopt the proposed average price and spectrum benchmarks of $1.25 and 70 megahertz of spectrum license, megahertz of licensed spectrum, respectively. The benchmarks will help to ensure that the winning bids for the licenses in the forward auction reflect competitive prices and return a portion of the value of the spectrum to taxpayers without reducing the amount of spectrum repurposed for new flexible use licenses. We also adopt our proposal for triggering an extended round to give bidders the opportunity to meet the final stage rule without moving to another stage, except that an extended round will not be triggered if the shortfall is greater than 20%. You got it? Good. I'm not repeating it. That was hard to say. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't fully understand the auction. That's why you should hire a consultant, a lawyer, somebody who does, somebody who understands it, somebody who, well, the carriers will, obviously. I all the carriers seems they have big, deep pockets. They'll have people that fully understand it inside and out that can talk about it and maybe put it in layman's terms for someone like me to talk about. If you're a broadcaster, hire a lawyer, hire a consultant. I know broadcasters, in most cases, their pockets aren't nearly as deep as the carriers, but they still have good people. They're not going to take any chances. Also, the way I read it, I'm assuming the channels for the carriers will be FDD, 5 plus 5 shared spectrum, maybe 10 plus 10. I don't know, but that's what I see. I don't see any TDD there. I just don't. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't read it. Feel free to give me feedback. I'd be happy. Then, you know, when the auction happens, hopefully all this money will pass hands. Everyone will be happy. So I made a joke here because clause number 287, they have the Paperwork Reduction Act analysis. Basically, they put out soft copies of everything and less paperwork. So they're killing less trees, right? But they sure didn't, they sure didn't skimp any words. I was trying to figure it out. I mean, good Lord. I know it's the FCC. I know it's legalities. And I know if you go to the CTIA and PCIA, they'll probably understand it inside and out. I imagine even Nate will have a good idea of what's going on because they have the people and the depth to do to understand these things. Specifically CTIA and PCIA. I see those guys as understanding it. But for me, man, I got to read a lot more. It's going to take me a while to study that. And I don't know. You know, these guys that are going to do it, I think it's awesome. I think I see a great opportunity there for broadcasters to move on and maybe cut their costs and work efficiently, maybe build up some new partners. I think that would be the way to go. It's my opinion. Broadcasters, maybe you have a different opinion, a better way to go. I don't know. I have a ton of links in there for all you guys that want to read about it. I have the FCC links. I have RCR Wireless links, a bunch of just different articles that you can read about the 600 meg auctions if you're into it, if you're interested. That, and why don't you sign up for my newsletter? You can sign up at the end of wadeforwireless.com. Just sign up. I'll send you out my newsletter. I've been trying to get out more because I'm putting a book out. I told you guys, I'm probably going to figure out how to finish my book. I get so busy doing these blogs and podcasts, it's hard to keep up with the book. But my goal is to get the book out here at the end of August, maybe for a pre-release for people in my newsletter, and then maybe trying to get it out, you know, to everybody probably at the end of September, maybe in October. All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, pay attention. See ya.